Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I greet you in the name of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to share with you another one of these attitudes to be, attitudes that we need to cultivate in our lives so that we can be the light of the world, so that we can join in with Jesus and shine in the dark places, so that we can be the salt of the earth. If you read from Matthew 5 and verse 6, you will see there how Jesus is speaking and saying, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I hear people saying, "I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit." A few days ago, a lady phoned me from Arizona, and she said, "Pastor, I want to tell you I had a tremendous experience on Sunday. I was at church and suddenly I started to shake from head to foot, and suddenly I found myself walking towards the platform, and I went up to the pastor and I was slain in the spirit and I fell upon the floor, and it's been a remarkable experience." And I listened to her excitement and she said, "Pastor, do you understand me?" I said, "No, I don't. But I'm so grateful for God because he has filled you with his spirit and you have an experience that I've never experienced, which doesn't mean I'm not filled with the spirit, but your experience is the experience of being filled and you know it because this strange thing has happened to you. God bless you." Now, we talked about this for a little while and she was so enthusiastic. And I said to her, "Now that you are filled with the Spirit, go and be salt, go and be light in this world." You see, you should be filled. Are you hungry? Ever been hungry? Really hungry? Gone without food for a while? Have you ever been thirsty? Massively thirsty? Oh, when I think of those dreadful things that happened in Europe in the 1940s, in the early part of the 1940s, when Jews and other people, gypsies and other offenders, were taken and thrown into concentration camps. One of the things we miss in the teaching or the remembrance or the history of that period is that not only Jews and gypsies, but also Biblicists, people that were considered to be enthusiastic Christians, were in those concentration camps. And that's something we don't think about very often. But it's a true thing. They threw people who were enthusiastic about the gospel, they threw people that loved the Lord Jesus in those same camps. If you've seen the photographs and if you've been to the Holocaust Museum, as I have in Jerusalem, or there's a replica, I'm told, in the east side of this country. I think it's either Washington or New York. If you've ever been in those places, you see poverty beyond all poverty. Bodies that are emaciated to a point of death, but not quite dead. Have you ever been hungry? Really hungry. Really hungry. One day, soon after I came to this country, a darling friend in La Grande, Oregon, took me up the mountain and he said, "We are going to have a good meal today." And I said, "Oh, good. Did you bring some food?" He said, "Nope. We're going to eat the food that God has given us." And I thought, I wonder what he's talking about. Around lunchtime, or just before around lunchtime, he started looking around on the ground and he said, "Let's collect onions." I looked on the ground. I saw some weeds. He started plucking these particular little plants out, and they were onions. They tasted like spring onions. They looked like spring onions. They were delicious. He said, "Now let's mix with that some strawberries." And I looked around and saw not a strawberry in the world. But there were small strawberries growing right close to the ground, and he knew what to look for, and he gathered up a little basin full of strawberries. And then he said, "Well, we need something else to make it palatable. We'll have some pine nuts." Pine nuts? I thought that was a slogan for advertising some years previous. I had no idea that they existed. And up in the tree he went, and he pulled down some pine cones and found the pine nuts. We shredded them, and yes, there were the nuts of the pine cones, and we put those in the same bowl. So we had onions, we had strawberries, and we had pine nuts. We went to a stream, and we had clear water. We sat down, and I don't know when I had such a strange but beautiful meal. We sat and talked as we ate the strawberries and so on, and it was gorgeous. In the sunlight, we sat and talked and giggled and laughed and ate this food. And the strangest of things was that we were full. Ever been hungry? Really hungry? Well, Jesus isn't talking of food that we need for the body. He is talking of food that we need for the soul. He is saying, if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you will be filled. If you're truly hungry for the living God, if you're truly seeking the salvation that God gives and the redemption that God loves you to receive, if you're seeking this, then you will be filled. But you know, before you can be filled, you have to recognize you're empty. Now, you may look around your own life for a few moments, and I would encourage you to do so. A woman lost some coins, and she searched the house for the coins. She looked everywhere for the coins, but she couldn't find the coins because they were lost. And she swept the house, and she moved the furnishings, and eventually, in a corner, a dark corner, she found the coins. And she said to her neighbor, you know, I've gone through the house. I've told you that I've been looking for these coins that I lost, and rejoice with me. I found the coins. She was all excited. She had found what was lost. There's an emptiness in some of our souls. I don't know exactly what your emptiness can possibly be, but I do know that the emptiness of your soul can cause you a great deal of trouble. And when you and I are finding that there is an emptiness in our soul, we are hungry. We're hungry for the living God. We're hungry for something that will fill us up. And we need to be born again. I would leave this sixth verse with you from the Amplified Translation. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous, that is, in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation, are those who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness, that is, the rightness and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. Now, the dissatisfaction in your life is not because you haven't found the filling through education. It isn't because you're not inspired. It isn't because you haven't found it through singing hymns and psalms and songs. It isn't any of those things. It is because so far you have not come face to face with the living God and become a born-again one. It is because the emptiness is in you, but you haven't discovered that you're lost within the emptiness. I was on the mountains one day with a dear friend. He's most likely going to listen to this broadcast through the internet, and so he'll remember the story. And we had been walking through the fields in North Wales and climbing up over some rocks, and we sat on a small rock that overlooked a little cleft in the rock, and we pulled out our cheese and bread, and we were going to have a meal. I put mine down on the ground, on the paper that it was wrapped in. He got up and stood on it. And I looked at him, and he looked at me. He apologized, and I looked backwards over the field we'd come through, and it was still full of sheep. I didn't like to think where his boots had been, but that was my food for the day that he had just trodden on. He'd just squelched the cheese. He'd crushed the bread, and I was, oh dear, that was to be my meal. If you think through education, if you think through dint and stint, you can make yourself a better person, a nicer creature. If you think that you can change the way of your life and that will suffice God, it's like stepping on the only meal you've got for the day. You see, you've just mixed all sorts of filth with that meal because you can't achieve this on your own. The emptiness a person feels is the darkness of the corner in which the coin is hiding. It is. It really is. I had been ill at one point and I was kind of upset with myself because I couldn't ride my horse. This is some years back. And when it came to the time that I was feeling well enough to ride, I was looking for all my gear. Well, the saddle is obvious and that's too big to lose, surely. And I hadn't lost it, so I collected the saddle and put it in the truck, and the saddle blanket and the halter and reins and so on. And then I was looking for my spurs, and I found one and I couldn't find the other. In the next few minutes, I imagined all sorts of people that had stolen my one spur, had carelessly thrown it away, or even given it away, or just taken it. I worked myself up into a fury that was not becoming a Christian, not becoming a person filled with the Spirit of Christ. In fact, I don't think the Spirit of the Lord Jesus could exist in the temper and the anger and the silliness that I felt. I looked everywhere. I turned over this, that, and the other, through this drawer, that drawer, this part of the bench, that part of the bench, all over the place I looked for that spur. Time was running out. I'd got to get going to meet the people that I was riding with. My wife said, "By the way, did you look in such a place?" And I said, "No, I didn't." I was irritated. She always thinks of the right place for me to look, and I don't want always to admit it. So I was irritated. Now, on the top of all my imaginations, I was furious with myself for not thinking of that. And I looked in that place, and there was my spur. I didn't say thank you as I walked out of the house. I didn't say anything. I just humph and stormed out of the house. I'd found what was lost. But I was so glad I'd found what was lost. I went back in and said thank you. And I said to the Lord, "Thank you. Why did I get in such a stupor? Why do we? I don't know. Except that the old man, the man that we were before we received the Lord Jesus Christ, before we became a saint of Jesus, that old man seems to be able to knock on our door sometimes and just get into us in a big way. Oh, I want to share with you so much. If you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, after righteousness. There's a banquet that you can sit at and you can feast on the living bread. Jesus said, "I am the living bread." The Jewish people in the desert had received manna from heaven. For 40 whole years, morning and evening, God rained down manna from heaven. Nobody really knows what this manna was, but it's called manna in the Bible. And they received it. They got fed up a couple of times with this diet. They didn't like it very much. But they had food, bread from heaven. Jesus said that was then. There is now a new agreement between man and God. There is now a new testament between man and God. There is now a new thing. It's called new life in Christ. And when you become born again, that moment you become born again, you feed on the living bread. The living bread is Jesus. The living bread is Jesus. Dear friend, if you will come to the place in your hunger, in your spiritual need, if you will come to the place in that spiritual hunger and feed on the principles and the teachings of Jesus, you will find life eternal. I want you to think about this in a very serious way, because eternal life is bread of life. Bread of life is the sustenance of eternal life. Jesus is the bread of life. You and I cannot live without his presence in us. You will shine more like him. You will appear more like him. You will become more like him as the years go by, as you hunger and thirst. Jesus was on a hike with the disciples, and he got to a well, and he said to the disciples, I want you to go on into the town and get some food. And they said, okay, and off they went. But he settled down at the well, and the woman at the mid of day was pulling water out of the well. Now, for a woman in the middle of the day to be pulling water out of the well had a significance. She did not want to meet the women that normally gathered early in the morning to gather the water for the day. She wanted to avoid the contact with those women because her life was considered immoral. She had had several husbands. The fellow that she was living with wasn't her husband. And so people ostracized her, and she didn't want to confront that. So here she was in midday, drawing the water, lifting the water out of the well, and Jesus said, Madam, give me also to drink. She looked at him, and she said, How can you, being a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink? And Jesus looked at her very, I think, penetratingly, and he said, Ma'am, if you only realized that I who speak to you am living water, and if you would believe in me, you would have this living water. Oh, she interrupted. Let me have the living water that I don't have to keep on coming to this well. It's almost as if she said something like, I don't want to keep coming to this confounded well and draw water every day. And Jesus said, Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking of the water for the body. I'm not talking for the water to quench your thirst. I'm talking of the water that quenches the thirst of your soul. And she tried to turn this into a religious argument. She said, Well, I know that when the time comes, you know, your people worship in Jerusalem, my people worship on the mountain, and when the time comes, it's a great thing that we can worship in our own way. Jesus said, No, no, don't sidetrack. Why don't you go home and get your husband? She said, I don't have any husband. He said, I know that. You've had five husbands, lady, and the one you're living with isn't your husband now, and yet you'd still need to come to me and drink. And here's a curious thing. She avoided the ostracization of the women, but she ran into town and she said to the men, with whom she was very familiar, Come see a man that told me all things I ever did, which he hadn't done. And the men came to the well, and Jesus said, Drink. I am the living water. Drink of me, and never thirst again. If we will come to our Lord Jesus, the thirst of our passions, the thirst of our wrong, the thirst of our sin will die. But the thirst of our soul will be satisfied, just as eating of the living bread will satisfy the body and the soul, so drinking at the fountainhead will satisfy the soul and the spirit. Have you ever come to Jesus to be refreshed with the living water? Have you ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord Jesus, quench my thirst? You can try more sin if you want. You can chase after it. Let's look at the fellow that is a gambling addict. He gambled and lost a lot of money. And he goes back and gambles again and again and again until he's totally broke. That is real stupid. But you can't tell him that because he thinks that somehow with the next deck of cards he's going to win. With the next bet he's going to get something from the lottery. And so on. What a silly thing for a man to do. A man starts to drink. My brother went in the Royal Navy. It is the custom, or was, in the Royal Navy to give every man a tot of rum in the morning and evening to keep him warm. Mostly it started when the British Navy was made up of galleons and the people nigh on froze to death in the cold. Hypothermia got to them, and they found that a tot of rum would put warmth in their veins, and so they served them. It's become a tradition. And my brother went into the Navy a teetotaler, but he liked the idea of this tot of rum in the morning and tot of rum in the evening. He got to enjoy his rum, and soon he got to enjoy his beer, and soon he got to enjoy his brandy, and soon he got to enjoy whatever it was alcoholic. When he died at the early age of 65, that poor fellow was an alcoholic. Oh, my heart wept for him. He would say to me sometimes, "Oh, I can stop drinking any time. I'm okay." What thirst did he quench? Nothing. His thirst became more thirsty. His more thirsty became more thirsty, and so on and on until he could not quench his thirst. We turn to the wrong fountain. King David said, "My cup is full and running over." He was talking of the quenching of his thirst, his spiritual thirst, because God had arranged to fill the cup of every man that will drink at the fountainhead with Jesus and be made whole. Oh, what a privilege you have. What a privilege I have. What a joy you have. What a joy I have. We can come to Jesus and have our thirst quenched. Quenched. Spiritually, we become prosperous when we hunger, when we thirst after righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, being in right standing with God. There's another way of saying that. Standing alongside God, standing beside him. You know, so many people have this thought that God is going to zap them. God isn't going to agree with the life, and so he's going to kill them, or he's going to do some dreadful thing. Some terrifying disease will come because of this, that, and the other. My dear friend, that is not the God of the gospel. The God of the gospel says, "Repent, and I will remember your sins no more." He says he will cast our sins behind his back, not to be remembered. He says he will throw them into the depth of the sea, not to be dredged up again. He throws them into the depth. They're gone. As far as the east is from the west, so he remembers not our sin. How far is the east from the west? If you turn left, it's to the east. If you turn right, it's to the west. The sins are gone. There's an old chorus we used to sing, "Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone, buried in the deepest sea." Oh, how precious all of this is. Buried deep in the sea, gone are my sins. And I can come to Jesus and never hunger and never thirst again. The one thing that challenges you and challenges me is, am I righteous? We have to work out our righteousness before God. Am I righteous? Is my life a righteous life? Now, I've used silly but very personal and very ordinary illustrations, such as being hungry physically and as being thirsty physically. But I want to share with you that the one thing that bothers most of us, or all of us at some time or another, is that I am not right with God. The things that I do, I should not be doing. And the things that I'm saying ought not to have been said. And the places I'm going, I ought not to be attending. Who's going to deliver me from this collapsing world around me? If you are a saint of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no need to live in this world that collapses around you, because we live in righteousness, not our own righteousness. Our own righteousness, says the Bible, is like a bag of filthy old rags. But living in the righteousness of God, are you in right standing with God? The Bible teaches you and I that we are spiritually prosperous when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. When we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Holy Spirit comes into our experience and fills us to overflowing. We have experiences with God that we never thought possible. We have wonderful times with the Lord our God because he rejoices with us. We have times with the angels in heaven, for they rejoice over the sinner that repents, the saint who gets right with God. Oh, dear friend, come, come and bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. See the softness of God. See the purity of God. See the gentleness of God. Feel his loving arms underneath you, all around you. Let him embrace you. Let him hold and keep you. A last story, and I quit. One day I was getting down from the platform where I had been preaching. There was a lady at the corner of the church, and she was just standing there weeping. Her husband had gone to be with the Lord about a year previous. And I walked straight up to her. I said no word to that lady. I simply opened my arms, and she flopped into my arms, and I hugged her and held her, and she sobbed. And my wife and deacons and deaconesses were at the door saying goodbye to people instead of me. But I just stood with this lady. All she needed was arms to hold her strongly. Oh, dear friend, Jesus will do that to you. Hunger, thirst after righteousness and be filled. Lord Jesus Christ, please be with us now. We do hunger. We are starving for you. We are thirsty. We're so parched dry. We need only you and you alone. Quench our thirst. Fill our hunger. For Jesus' sake, we pray you. Amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.